Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen had to step out to go water some fire hydrants. But they're back now on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us a returning guest who's become sort of a regular when it comes to the topic of the day. It's Kirby Adams, who is a, I don't know if I want to use the word famous or infamous birder in this area. But bottom line is, when it comes to songbirds and wild birds, he knows what the heck he's talking about. Welcome back to the show, Kirby.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Always happy to be here, and try to talk about birds. Nothing better.
I'd call you famous. There you go.
Okay, I'll go. Well known, let's say.
Well known for sure in the birding community.
Absolutely,
and the fish community, or at least the saltwater community, or at least the local saltwater community.
Well, Kirby, I know that the last couple of years you've been spending time writing quite a bit, doing blogs, and working on the state park books and things like that. But how would you rate this year so far with birding, and how did last year affect it? I mean, with people stuck at home, did it see a big increase or was it decreased?
Well, it was definitely different because birders like to travel. We love to go all over the place and find new birds. But that really wasn't possible beginning last spring. About the time I talked to you guys, things were starting to get bad, and people couldn't leave home or their immediate area. And what it did was make people pay more attention to what was around them locally, and also got more people just interested in looking at birds. You're sitting at home looking out your window while you're working from home or supposedly working from home, and you see some birds out there. Things like Baltimore Orioles that are pretty common in this area in May, especially when they first come back and start nesting. There were all kinds of people who were saying last May, I never knew there were this many Orioles around, or I never knew Orioles existed at all, but they started seeing them in their yards. Yeah. And they've always been there, just people weren't sitting at home all day the first week of May. So that was a... You know, during a horrible year and a tragic year, one of the bright spots was people paying more attention to the nature in their yards. And birding has really taken off because of that. The national organizations have seen a surge in the number of people interested in it. So that's one good thing to take away from the year.
Yeah, the one thing I got connected with through Facebook, not that I've had time to go out birding, although I wish I could, was your Four Corners, not far from your walking distance. It's as if I was there myself. You were there on a regular, consistent basis and kind of posted about, you know, the relationship that a tree had with a particular variety of bird, you know. And I think that's kind of marvelous. Is I liked the micro-analysis of, like, you don't think of a bird coming back to the same location and having kind of a, you're just thinking there's another bird that came through. But you kind of gave the idea that these guys kind of hone in on a particular micro habitat and come back year after year.
Yes, and that's the kind of thing you can learn by, you know, watching a place over and over and over, you know, throughout the year. Just keep an eye on your yard or your immediate area. And you'll see things like black walnut trees that are very common around here. In the fall, when they've got the fruit on them, the fruit attracts some bugs, and the bugs attract a lot of warblers that are migrating through in the fall. So if you have a walnut tree in your yard and you notice that, maybe the next time you're in a park and you see one of those, stop and look for a while, and you'll notice the same birds coming to that tree. So you start picking up those little tricks that then when you go anywhere, you can find the same birds that you learned how to find in your own yard.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my wife consistently keeps feeders on our porch, and they're always full. She will switch between hummingbird feeders and regular bird feeders in terms of the food that she offers. But I swear we see the same birds coming back each year, and sometimes it's within the same week that they're coming back and visiting. And it really is something that is a pleasure to watch, but you have to keep your eyes open because they're not just hanging there all day. They're going to be there until they get their fill, and then they're moving on.
Right. Yeah, that's the main thing, is just being observant as often as possible.
Now, you're out there with your
feeders and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Checking in, taking pictures of them and observing as much as you can. The more you look, the more you see, and the more you learn. So.
I'm just curious. It's probably been, I don't know if it's been a year, but it's been a while since you've been on the show. And over this period of time, you're out there with your binoculars, you're out there with your camera. Is there any particular bird that strikes out in your mind that you kind of connected to or had a relationship or feels the need to talk about?
There's one that does come to mind, and that would be the rusty blackbird. They are a blackbird not similar to the common red-winged blackbirds that everybody's familiar with, but they're far less common, and they've been declining badly in population since the 1950s. They have declined about 95% over that time.
Where are they found?
This is a bird that's they migrate through here. They winter in cedar swamps in the southeastern United States, and they breed in the boreal swamps up in northern Canada. So they come through here in late March, early April, and then again in October and November on their way south. But they're kind of a nondescript blackish brown bird that makes a really horrible noise. It's not a pretty song at all. So, but I kind of am drawn to that because nobody pays attention to them, and they're declining in population. They definitely need our help in preserving their habitat. And it just so happens that the little intersection down the road from where I live that you were talking about, Rick, that is a great place for rusty blackbirds to come through in April. And it's actually one of the more well-known spots in the area, and I happen to live right there. So starting about 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be walking down there every morning and just listening for that weird squawking sound of the rusty blackbirds, and know that some of them are finding some good stopover habitat on their way north.
And compared to the blackbird that we're familiar with, is it that the one that we're familiar with has a much more broad environment that it feels comfortable living in, and this particular one has to stay kind of within the wetland areas, which are, I don't know that they're 95% diminished, but they have substantially diminished from over the last 50 years.
Yeah, but the red-winged blackbirds, if you have a little patch of cattails in a ditch, a red-winged blackbird will set up a nest there. I mean, it doesn't take much at all. They're just adaptable that way. Some birds are more than others. So they have put up with development and urban sprawl and things like that. The rusty blackbirds seem to be a lot pickier, and their habitat in northern Canada, the trees are being cut down and the swamps are being degraded. And the places that they stay in the south are being overrun and turned into parking lots. There aren't that many cedar swamps down there anymore. And then the places that they stop over here are diminishing because there aren't wet forest habitat like there used to be. And with global warming, we're getting weird storms and dry periods that aren't giving them the habitat. So they're getting hammered at every stop along the way. And so I feel for them. I've got some empathy for those birds that are struggling like that.
Now, Kirby, my understanding, and I can be wrong, so please correct me if I am, the red-winged blackbirds are pretty darn aggressive. They might even be in the blue jay category in terms of territoriality. Is the same thing true of the rusty bird or not really?
They do not seem to be. They do flock with red-winged blackbirds at times, and grackles as well, which is another type of common blackbird. But they don't seem to be as aggressive in defending their territories or anything like that. And the thing is, when we see brown, it's migrating, so they're not really in that breeding mode where they're going to get nasty like a red-winged blackbird might. If you walk into a cattail marsh, red-winged blackbirds let you know they don't want you there.
Yeah,
and
sure
the but that's because they're breeding. They've got nests nearby. There are females sitting on eggs, so the males are up there squawking in your face. You don't see that with migrating birds because they don't have anything to protect. They're just passing through.
Gotcha.
Right. It's just kind of like let's be stealth. There's no sense drawing attention. Let's just get through this.
Yeah, yeah, they're on a mission. When they're migrating through, they're just getting to the breeding grounds. When they've stopped here and have set up a nest, then it's time to get territorial and defensive.
Now in March, which we're in now, what does it mean for a birder in regards to what's happening here in Michigan? What season are we in for what birds? Obviously, some are migrating through. Are there others that are settling in, or is that in months to come?
Well, we're officially in spring now. This is birder spring. As of the last week of February was when the first sandhill cranes, the red-winged blackbirds, killdeer, some of those birds that are the very first ones to show up, arrived right around February 26th this year. So that was my official first day of spring. No matter what the calendar says, that was spring for me. Huh. So when those guys show up, that's kind of starts the whole process going. The next thing we're going to see are the rusty blackbirds, the eastern phoebes, some of those later March kind of arrivals, come up, greater yellowlegs, some of the shorebirds start coming through then, and then we get into the warblers and things like that in May. So there's a progression about every 2 weeks. There's a new season starting in this time of year. So there are multiple springs when you're looking at birds.
I imagine they're breeding at this time, many of the species that are settling in, so therefore they are a bit noisy, or
yes, some of them are.
Yeah,
the male red-winged blackbirds are back, and they're staking out their territory now. The females will be arriving right around now or within the next couple of weeks. Some of the birds of prey, bald eagles, red-tailed hawks, they're already either sitting on eggs or very close to it in their nests because they start very early. So there's definitely breeding going on. The season has begun.
Kirby, you mentioned sandhill cranes, and there's been a lot of talk about sandhill cranes in the newspapers recently because evidently all of a sudden there are many people who are wanting to change the way that they're identified and make them birds that can be hunted. Why is that, and what are they thinking with regard to that? Because I know that they mess up the ponds that Rick Preuss is always so glad to talk about.
I don't know that the sandhills do. It's usually the blue herons.
Okay.
The herons are a worse thing for the ponds. The sandhill cranes, that's a thorny issue. There are a lot of things at play there. They do have some effect on agriculture when they're out there in abundant numbers in soybean fields, especially later in the summer. And so they can become a bit of a pest that way. And it's a bird that wasn't terribly common in Michigan decades ago, but is definitely recovering and doing better and better. When I drive to work from Charlotte to Lansing every day, I see many pairs of them in fields all over the place. So it's become a common bird. And they are hunted in some states, especially in the plains like Nebraska, where there are millions of them that migrate through in those areas. And they are well known for being a tasty bird by people that hunt them. They're very prized as a food bird for that purpose. So there needs to be a lot of discussion about it, about how it would be regulated and how tightly it would be controlled and the number of them that would be allowed to be harvested. So that's always a discussion that has to happen when you talk about the conservation of these things. But what it boils down to is we've altered the environment enough that almost nothing exists in a natural state anymore. So there are populations of birds and any animal are going to rise and fall based on factors that are caused by humans. So whether or not we have hunting to regulate them or go through some other means, it's a discussion that has to be had. So I look forward to hearing more about it, and there are pros and cons on both sides of that discussion.
All right. Kirby, we need to take a quick break with you, but when we come back, let's talk about some of the different birds that are out there that people are going to be interested. One that I saw a picture of, I can't admit that I saw the bird, but it was a cardinal that was half male and half female. And I didn't know things like that existed amongst birds. I knew they did amongst some animals, but it was very interesting. So we'll talk about that and more about backyard birding with Kirby Adams right here on 1320 WILS.